This is the Seedbed Daily Text for Wednesday, September the 19th, 2018. The thing Jesus wants the most from us. Mark 6, 37 to 44. But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Consider this. Okay, so this entry, like yesterday's, goes into extra innings. Refill your coffee. This one has massive implications for us if we are willing. Number 89. When faced with a big challenge or problem, our first impulse usually involves some kind of calculation of how much money it would take to solve the problem. I think this is part of why Jesus pitched the problem to the disciples, to see how they would solve it. Predictably, they got out their calculators and determined it would cost half a year's wages. Somehow, I think Jesus was hoping they might remember that great catch of fish he engineered, the one that almost sank two boats. I think Jesus probably hoped they might appeal to him for help. There's a good word in here for us when faced with large challenges. Start with Jesus. Entreating the Lord is not a last-ditch effort. It's the starting point. Number 90. There's an even better approach. Take on challenges so large that if Jesus doesn't intervene, you will fail. The disciples saw a problem. Jesus saw people. Yesterday's text captured the heart of God for the human race. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. If I had been one of those disciples, I would have been looking at my watch, wondering when this thing would finally end so we could get on with our plans. Remember, this was unplanned. Compassion is not a pre-planned mission trip, though these can be filled with compassion. Compassion is a Holy Spirit-formed disposition deep within one's inner person. As Jesus constantly demonstrates, compassion is the nature of God. Compassion is not what we do with our loose change. It's a way of being deeply attuned to other people, seeing past their need and into their nature. Compassion happens when the brokenness of the image of God in me beholds the brokenness of the image of God in another. It moves me from the posture of, quote, helping a brother out, to the place of holding a brother's pain. It's hard. It costs us a lot more than money. It requires giving ourselves away. Compassion is to charity as a long, steady rain is to a water sprinkler. This is precisely what God is like. This is who the Holy Spirit is making us to be. It's not about giving more, as good as that may be. Compassion is about becoming a new kind of person. Even as I write, I find myself asking, do I really want to become compassionate? Half a year's wages actually sounds a lot easier. It makes me realize how giving money can be such a substitutionary charade for true generosity. Number 91. Finally, we come to the miracle. I'm beginning to think this is exactly what Jesus had in mind from the get-go. The retreat was a holy ruse. Why do I think that? The text was careful to tell us earlier about the extreme demands and out-of-control activity of the disciples. They'd been pushed past their limits. Then he invites them on a retreat, only to follow it with a request to feed 5,000 people. The conditions were perfect for something of a miraculous object lesson. First, Jesus gave the 12 a picture of what real limitations and scarce resources look like. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Imagine trying to feed 50 kids with a single hot dog. I think the bigger comparison here is between these meager rations and 12 helpers. Second, he has them sit down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Why do we need to know this detail? I think it's because he wanted the disciples to know this detail. How else would we know there were 5,000 people there? This is not a preacher's inflated estimate of attendance on Easter Sunday. Third, Jesus doesn't balk at the impossibility of the challenge at hand, verse 41. Taking the loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He did exactly what he does at every meal. 4 moves. He took, he blessed, he broke, he gave. There's a hidden curiosity here, though. The verbs, took, blessed, and broke, are past tense verbs. Gave translates into English as past tense, but the Greek text renders this in the imperfect tense. The imperfect verb tense points to an action done in the past that keeps on moving indefinitely into the future. In other words, the fishes and loaves were being continuously multiplied in his hands. It's not like all of a sudden 5,000 fish and 10,000 loaves materialized on the scene. No, the miracle was happening over and over and over and over again in the movement from his hands to theirs. Number 92. The crowd didn't see this, but the disciples couldn't have missed it. I think this is the point. Just like those meager rations, so were these disciples. But upon being offered to Jesus, something extraordinary happened. He would bless them and break them and make them a gift to the world, an unending source of his extravagant, compassionate generosity. These 4 verbs would present themselves again at the most mysterious, miraculous, meaningful meal in the history of the world. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. Are you seeing it? As he is the bread, in his hands we are the bread, blessed, broken, and given, and given, and given, and given. Discipleship is all about learning to live our lives in his hands. And the miracle, after the miracle, is there's always more than enough left for us. This is about surrender. The prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Lord Jesus, I feel like I'm surrendered to you, but there is so much I hold on to. Something deep in me will not let go of control. I find myself bouncing between being charitable and generous, which I think pleases you, yet I know deeper down it's not what you desire most. You want me wholeheartedly, unreservedly, without my calculated self-interest. I want this too, I think. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. For the glory of your name, Jesus. Amen. The question: what keeps you from releasing control of yourself and surrendering yourself completely to Jesus? What would be the sign to Jesus and to you that you have done this? For the awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.